Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise right now for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Leo Beck reminds us, it is in the deed that God reveals himself in life. Merciful Father, we grow a sense that the world is shrinking, for what happens in one place affects the lives in another land. We saw the response to help when Haiti was decimated, and now Chile, and our people wish again to relieve suffering. In such acts of mercy, we know your desire and your will for us is to be compassionate to our neighbors, and in the deeds you reveal your presence. May you bless our efforts, and may you be an ever-present comfort to our hurting people. In your holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Kevany, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nodler, Pierce, Pergeson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright-Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 29th day, Monday, March 1st, 2010. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. Senator Pierce in the chair.
Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with, the same being approved as though having been
you
fully read.
You have heard the motion. As many as are the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. The senator from Monroe.
President, introduction of special guest. Mr. President, I have several special guests, but in the upper gallery behind us, we have with us today the folks from Kraft Foods in Missouri, from the Springfield plant, the Columbia plant, and my alma mater, the Kirksville plant. Now, these folks in Missouri provide over 2,100 jobs, and over 75% of the Oscar Mayer wieners are produced right here in Missouri. We get Philly cream cheese from here in Missouri, and if anybody's ever wondered when you went to the store, how do they get that square ham? I know. I've toured the plant, and it's wonderful, and we appreciate them coming down, and if the body make them all welcome. And also, I have Dr. Lemons from Palmyra, Missouri here. He's a great dentist down here espousing his causes, and I certainly appreciate him coming down and being part of the legislature and the government.
Well,
thank you,
all
Mr. President.
The guests of the senator from Monroe, please rise for recognition by the Senate. The senator from Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think a lot of us are aware that today is Extension Day, and there's a big rally in the rotunda today, so we have a lot of folks from all across the state here to celebrate Extension Day. In particular, I've got some folks from back home from Cass County. If they'd like to stand up, we have folks from the Cass County Extension Council that are here, and we'd like to welcome them to the Senate today.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the senator from Johnson and all the Extension folks in the Capitol today. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guest. On your right, my left, Mr. President, I got Cheryl Wood of St. Charles and Katie Wood, from a sixth grade student, and Jack Wood, first grader, homeschoolers up visiting today for Homeschooler Day in the Capitol. They would stand and please be welcome. And Mr. President, if you could make them pages of the day to serve without compensation.
All of your guests, Senator?
How about we just do Katie and Jack?
Very good. The young lady will be made a page for the day. Is it a young lady?
A young lady and the little guy, Jack.
And the young man will be made pages for the day. And let's welcome the guests of the senator from the second.
Great.
Introductions. Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, introduction of a very special guest. To my right and to your left is a junior at Tipton High School, Jeremy Brandt. And he's here to shadow me for the day, and I want everyone to make him feel welcome.
We're delighted to welcome Jeremy to the Missouri Senate here today. Senator from 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guests. We have in the chamber today Dr. Christopher Young as our doctor of the day, and he is with St. John's Western Anesthesiology Group, and I would like the body to make him feel welcome.
Let's welcome the doctor of the day, Dr. Young, to the Missouri Senate. Senator from St. Clair.
President, I'm pleased this morning to join with the senator from Saline to introduce some very special guests. Elena Doctorian and Evan Doctorian are over here on the side gallery. Their grandfather, David Doctorian, Senator Doctorian, served in this chamber for many years, and they're here this morning as homeschool students with their mother, Lydia Doctorian, and their aunt, Sherry Doctorian, is in the chamber upstairs because we don't let her on this floor because she's designated.
But let's welcome the daughter-in-law and the grandchildren of Senator Doctorian back to the Missouri Senate. Introduction of guests, Senator from Clay.
Mr. President, I've had a considerable number of guests, as I'm sure you're aware. I think they're still in and around the chamber, but if not, I still want to make sure that they get introduced as being here. I have two large groups, one teachers with the Missouri State Teachers Association, including Dr. Melinda Daniel, that are down here from Clay County, Missouri, representing the interests of teachers and students. And I also have Meredith Brunkow and Helen Alpern and many others with 4-H in Clay County, the University Extension, and Cynthia Hughes and others with the Excel program, also with the University of Missouri Extension program from Clay County. I'm not sure if they've had to move on out of the chamber, but I did want to make sure that they got introduced and the body would make them feel welcome if they are still here.
Guests of the senator from Clay to the Missouri Senate. The senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an introduction of a special guest. Kimberly Keckner from Tipton High School is shadowing me today, and we are having a good time. She is seeing a lot of things going on today.
We're delighted to have the guest of the senator from the 7th with us in the Senate today. The senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Visiting today, our capital from Concord Village in St. Louis County in the 1st District are Elaine Pontius and her daughter, Titania. They're attending the homeschoolers rally here at the Capitol, and I would ask that we make Titania a page for the day. And then I also have some other visitors from South County. The Jones family are back here visiting on their yearly visit to the Capitol, and I hope that we make them all feel welcome.
The young lady will be made a page for the day, and let's welcome all the guests of the senator from the 1st. The senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I'm honored to have a special guest with us today, a friend, constituent, and dean of the College of Optometry for University of Missouri-St. Louis. He is on my right and your left. I'd ask the body to please make him feel welcome.
Will the guest of the senator from the 23rd please rise for recognition by the Senate? The senator from 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also here with us today, joining the Jones family from St. Louis County, is the Schmidt family. Now, they spell their name a little differently than mine, but they're here joining us today with the homeschool group that's here and like to send to make them feel welcome as well.
Will the guests of the senator from the 15th please rise for recognition by the Senate? The senator from Jefferson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Along with the senator from St. Francis, we have Festus High School here, the ninth grade students, brought by their teacher, Tom Ludwig. If the senator from St. Francis would like to lead us in the Festus fight song. That's probably out of order, Mr. President, but
it is.
I would like to particularly recognize one of my friends up there, Noel Ort, if Noel could wave, and then ask the body to make the rest of Festus.
Will all the guests of the Senator from Jefferson please rise for a welcome by the Missouri Senate. Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, on my right and your left in the fine-looking green uniforms is the Daniel Boone National League Little League All-Stars. And they're here today to visit the Capitol. The name of the players, Connor Brumfield, Ben Humphreys, Matt Eckelmeyer, Eric Cruz, Carter Gerling, Nick Vandergriff, Vincent Milburn, Andrew Wooldridge, Josh Ripley, Sam Giles, Dirk Adams, and Joe Barbie. And they've got their coaches, Craig Brumfield and Steve Humphreys. And I want to point out that these fine young men played in the regional championship game on Saturday, August 15th against Iowa. The game was televised on ESPN, and unfortunately they lost that game, but they showed great spirit and effort. Eric Cruz hit a grand slam during regional pool play. They defeated Kansas 11-1, Minnesota 7-2, and Nebraska 3-2. They came through the bracket and beat Carthage twice to claim the state title. And Dirk Adams hit a solo home run in the bottom of the sixth to win the state championship game. They are a fine group of young men, and I want this body to make them feel welcome.
Let's all welcome the guests of the Senator from Boone. Heard some familiar names in that on that team, Senator. Senator from St. Clair.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have additional guests this morning. On your right, my left, we have some additional homeschoolers from Pittsburgh, Missouri. Mel Lila and Brock Jenkins, they've been in the homeschool business for a long time. And with them also are Charlene, Christine, and Heather Huff. And I'd be pleased if you'd make them welcome, Mr. President.
The guests of the Senator from St. Clair, let's welcome all their guests and wave at us. Or stand up. Further introductions. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want everybody to know that they watched the Olympics last week, the snowboarding championship. We have one of the members of the team here. We couldn't get the flying tomato, but we've got the sitting squash. Kermit Miller from KRG CGTV has been given permission to take photographic images.
Introductions. Petitions.
Introduction of special guests. Coming into the chamber, Mr. President, from Farmington High School is their ROTC, and their ROTC Lieutenant Colonel Winnegar is here, and the members of the Farmington ROTC, if we would recognize them.
We are delighted to welcome all the special guests from the Farmington ROTC to the Missouri Center. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Senator from Green?
Yes, to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Okay. You will be heard, Senator. Point of personal privilege.
Mr. President, from time to time we pause and recognize our staff people for what a great job they do. Our doormen, various state employees that help us with this legislative process. But one group that rarely gets publicly recognized is our interns. Mr. President, this is a group of young people who all the rest of us are paid to do what we're doing. These young people pay for the privilege of coming to the Capitol and learning about the legislative process. I've had interns for 18 years, and they come back year after year and say how much they've learned and how they were able to really understand the process in a way that couldn't be learned in the classroom and couldn't be learned from textbooks. Okay. So I think we need to recognize the importance of it. My office has always had a policy, and I think probably many of your offices have too, to realize that while interns are willing to do some of this, that they already know how to file, they already know how to run errands, but they don't know how the legislative process really works. And this is an excellent learning opportunity. And you met my intern, Michelle Pence, at the first of the session. Michelle is over on your right. Michelle, will you stand? I want to recognize our office. Everyone in my office over the last few weeks has been ill. My secretary, my office manager, has pneumonia and has been out for a couple of weeks. Michelle has learned the process, not just run errands, and thanks to Doris and the staff, she knows how to do what needs to be done in an office. She has not only continued in these 2 weeks to do her job and all of the things that we've given her to do, like the rest of your interns do, but she's taken over the office management and handled all the committee work and everything in the office. And not only did she do that, but she did it without creating any a fuss about it. If she needed to know how to do something, she didn't even come to me. She knew where to go because Doris had told her who to check. So she has smoothly run our office at a time when we needed her, and it makes me appreciate even more what we can teach our interns. And so this is kind of an appreciation day for my 18th intern and for your interns, and an encouragement next session when you come back to renew your efforts to recognize that we not only have an opportunity to do the serious business of legislation, but we have an opportunity to influence the attitudes in the future. So we appreciate our interns.
Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. The senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, could we go to the order of business of reports from standing committees, and I have a report for
reports of standing committees. Send your report forward. Read the committee report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 754, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been duly enrolled and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Committee reports. Yeah, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, can you take us to the order of business of Senate Bill's perfection on the formal calendar?
Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar. The senator from the first. Senate Bill 818.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 818, the Senate Committee substitute, be taken up for perfection.
You heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion as shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 818 be adopted. Mr. President, this is the initiative and referendum bill. It was before this body last year. There are a couple of basic changes that I will address along with the other reforms to current statute. The initiative and referendum is one of the most basic rights reserved by the people. Simply put, the INR process, Mr. President, is the people's check on this body and our activities. Under the Constitution, Article 3, Section 49, it reads, "The people reserve power to propose and enact or reject laws and amendments to the Constitution by the initiative, independent of the General Assembly, and are also reserve power to approve or reject by referendum any act of the General Assembly." I really believe that the focuses of these reforms should be on ensuring the desire of the people, the signers of these petitions, and that those desires are honored. So if I could just take a couple of moments, Mr. President, I just want to go over some of the changes in this legislation. First, day is defined in statute. There had been some confusion as far as
whether we counted weekends or holidays, so we certainly addressed that. Second, that this legislation declares that the will of the signer should be primary. We also have in this bill that it's in addition to the current statutory language that requires brackets for things that are being removed, we also allow for strike-through language that we believe would be a little more understandable to the average voter and people that are reading these ballot initiatives. The meaning of repealed is clarified. Signatures accidentally placed on wrong county petition sheets can be recovered. Additional fraudulent activities are defined. Obstructing a voter from signing a petition is made a crime. New provisions allowing the counting of all signatures properly filed with the Secretary of State. Late challenges to the ballot title, we have addressed that language so that, again, the will of the voters is not, voters are not disenfranchised through the process. Petition proponents can elect to participate in the challenge of a ballot title brought by another party. There are time limits added on litigation of a ballot title. When more than one ballot measure on similar topics are approved by the voters, all non-conflicting elements become law. And finally, there are time limits specified on the Secretary of State to convey a newly submitted petition to the Attorney General and the Auditor's Office. So that covers the changes that we're proposing in this legislation, Mr. President. I would be happy to entertain any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
Senator from the First has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 818. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, before we get into the questions for the senator, I'd ask for unanimous consent to introduce a special guest. Thank you, Mr. President.
No objection, Senator. Proceed.
Thank you. To your left and my right is a very special guest and a very good friend of mine, Mr. Paul Ward, who is a member of the Kirkwood City Council, which is in the heart of the 15th District. He is a good man, a good friend, and very proud that he's joining us here today at the Capitol, and we ask that everybody make him feel welcome today.
Will the guests of the Senator from the 15th please rise? Has he already risen? He has. We welcome you to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from the 5th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask unanimous consent for the introduction of two very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you. To my right and to your left, that whole line of good-looking men against the wall over there are from the 100 Black Men Organization, the St. Louis chapter of an international brotherhood. President John Hagler is with us, past President Jacques Land, and President-elect Bill Luster. I would ask the body to make them feel welcome here today.
The Senate would like to welcome the guests of the 5th to Missouri's Capitol this morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Mr. President, in the upper chamber behind us, there was a family, Bill and Bob and Jill Johnson. I believe they've left the chamber. They had their children with them, Brandon and Miriam. They are members of the 5th District, and they come every year and do their day in the Capitol. I'd like the body to welcome them in absentia.
We welcome the guests to the Senator from the 5th to the Missouri Senate this morning. Guests? Okay. We are on adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 818. Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Require the Senator from the 1st.
Does the Senator from the 1st yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
What was the reasoning? What committee was this in?
I believe elections and
okay.
I don't recall.
What was the reasoning for the chamber being against the bill? Not that I have the top ranking of the chamber's support, but the witnesses against, one was the Chamber of Commerce. Do you recall?
Oh, the chamber. I thought you meant people in this chamber. I don't recall why the chamber testified against the bill, Senator.
Well, it appears to me this is all just simple clarifying language to make the process go somewhat.
My attempt is to streamline the process, yes.
For the individuals that submit the initiatives, but I'm just curious as to why the chamber would be against something like this. Are they against ballot initiatives per se?
It's my understanding, Senator, and I believe that there's a bill moving on the House side, and there similar legislation last year that the chamber was in support of. And my thought is in relation to that legislation was it was making it tougher for individuals, you know, our constituents, to avail themselves of the process that's constitutionally reserved for them in our Constitution. They were putting extra hurdles up in that bill, and that was a bill that the chamber supported. So I would imagine the chamber wants the process to become more difficult.
Do you know how many ballot initiatives we're going to have this next election?
I don't, Senator. I know that last year, I believe that there were 30 submitted, but ultimately only 3 went to the ballot out of those 30.
I am not up to speak against because you're streamlining, but something that we need to discuss is due to term limits, and I think due to the fact that we do not tend to sit down and negotiate issues out as in past legislatures because there were longer relationships between people and they knew how to work things out. I see more and more the process of initiative petitions coming forth to legislate as opposed to try for us being elected to legislate. For years, I came in 1988, and for years they tried to create an increase in the state minimum wage. The bill just would not go anywhere because once it got to the Senate, it would be bogged down. So they do an initiative petition process, and they get 77, 78% of the people that vote in favor of it. Looking at that, I agree with having initiative petitions because it gives the people the right. But at the same time, it worries me that we're seeing more and more petitions placed on the ballot, that voter entrusts in us when they vote for us to do something. And I think we're putting more responsibilities now on the initiative petition process than ever before. So I don't personally have a problem. I was curious about the chamber and just wanted to throw that thought behind you on the initiative petition. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator for the 14th, for what
Thank
reason?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
Proceed.
Okay, Senator, I have several questions about this, and I looked at your list of people who were supportive of this and found it very interesting that you have Tim Asher here who has been unsuccessful in his goal to pass an initiative to do away with affirmative action in this state. And so I found that to be very interesting. Is that the purpose for your bill? Is that the reason for your legislation?
Senator, the reason for my legislation is to protect the right of the people so their will would not be frustrated. So we have a process that was put into our Constitution to protect the right of the people to be able to bring initiative, a referendum, and I believe that statutorily or just how we've empowered different statewide officials, the court system, because we haven't defined things clearly enough, have allowed the process to be frustrated. So no, it wasn't brought for any particular group on any particular issue.
Okay.
It is, if we're going to continue to have this in the Missouri Constitution, then I believe it's our responsibility to protect that right of our citizens to exercise that right.
And so you feel that what we currently have in our system is not doing that, obviously.
That's correct, Senator.
Now, we were able to, or some group was able to get term limits on our ballot through an initiative, as you well know. Did the process, did you find that convoluted, or was that not working, or what did you find egregious about that particular process?
Well,
I guess that I'm just trying to figure out the basis for the changes that you made, some of them are pretty substantial, if I'm looking at my information here. And so that's really what I'm trying to determine the bottom line, sure, as to what you're trying to do here.
In particular, where I see that the process is being frustrated is that there is no clear-cut time frame for different statewide officials, whether it be the Secretary of State, the Auditor's Office, or the AG's Office, who are all involved in this process, mm-hmm, or the courts, as far as how they react to a ballot language that's been challenged by an opponent. You know, so again, you get back to that the term limit example that you used, Senator. It's really going to depend who the players are in the thing and whether there are deep pockets that decide that they want to challenge something and drag it out in the courts. All I'm saying is, under current statute, there are no time restrictions as far as frustrating the process, because it's a zero-sum game as far as the clock that you have. You only have so much time to gather those signatures and get them presented to the Secretary of State's office. So all I'm trying to do is streamline it, not
so
anything
we have,
else.
You have a certain time period that you must submit your signatures. That is correct.
Yes.
We do have that already. Now, you came up with 45 days in some area, 55 days in what area. How did you determine that those were a sufficient number of days to accomplish your goal?
Well, I mean, you know, to be quite honest with you, Senator, I mean, there wasn't any hard and fast science behind those days. But I can tell you this, and I don't believe that there was any testimony to this effect. I haven't heard back from any of the statewide officials or the courts saying to me, that's not going to be enough time for us to address this, Senator. We would need X amount of time. Okay. What I'm trying to do is address the fact that currently there is not a time frame, so that purposefully these things can be drug out to run the clock out on, mm-hmm, and frustrate the will of the people.
Okay. So you have here on page 13, you're looking at 55 days. I guess that is for certification, ballot certification. Now, I thought that we already had a certain number of days that the ballots had to be certified, because we had to allow time for the ballot to be printed, to be reviewed. So I already thought we had that, and perhaps I'm incorrect. I do stand corrected if we do not.
I'm sorry, Senator. Because what page are you on, Senator?
I'm on page 13.
13, okay.
Line 37, you have 55 days of the original certification.
Well, if we did have something in statute currently on that, Senator, wouldn't it show up here?
I'm not sure if it's statute or by rule. I'm not saying. I don't know either one.
Okay.
But I'm saying that there is a drop-dead time frame that we already had for submission. And once we submit, then you have to go and have the signatures certified. So that is a time frame in itself, because you have to then go and have the ballots printed. They have to allow the different election authorities to print,
sure,
the ballots. And so there is some kind of a time frame in itself. I'm not saying that it is in statute.
We may be codifying it here.
Anyway, so that's what I need to know. Are we just picking up 55, or is that what currently is the case? That was my question.
Senator, I don't have the answer for you on that one. I apologize.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get some help from our
crack staff over there on what the current law on that is.
Okay. If you go back to, and I'm just kind of picking through here, if you go back to page 12, you've left out a section here regarding the Attorney General or the Circuit Court determines that the fiscal note or the summary does not satisfy the requirements of this section, then that shall be returned to the auditor for revision. You've taken that out. How will we accomplish that at this point if you're not allowing that to happen?
Well, again, Senator, this is an effort, again, because we have very limited time, is to streamline the process. What does 4 say above that? I imagine I'm just trying to take a step out of the process.
Right. Well, but if you have a synopsis that says it's going to cost $10, and then the auditor comes and says, I think it's going to be $50, where, if without number five, how do we ascertain that correct amount?
Well, I would imagine it would go directly from the auditor to the Secretary of State.
Okay, we're on five now. Look at what mm-hmm. If the Attorney General or the Circuit Court of Cole County determines that the fiscal note or the fiscal note summary does not satisfy the requirements, let me give a quick example here. Okay, you're asking that we put in place a new program, and then you perhaps will have half an FTE. The Attorney General and the Circuit Court are saying that's not going to be enough to do that. How without number five, how do we rectify that?
Senator, I can't answer your question.
Okay, we're batting 1,000.
That's a good one.
All right. Okay, let's go back to page 10, where we're going to reclaim these signatures.
Right.
I guess, do you have someone that's kind of taking down these notes so they can kind of answer my questions at some point? Right, okay.
They better be.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, if we go down to page 10, we're looking at line 21, and we're talking about reclaiming the signatures. How do you do that? What does that mean? And we do that if you're, let's just say you're at Crestwood Plaza. I don't even know if it's still there, but anyway, Crestwood Plaza.
Just barely.
Let me tell you, all of them are having struggles these days. And so, you know, these people are visiting there, they're shopping there. Someone has asked them, oh, are you a voter in Missouri? And they said, yes. Well, here, sign this. We need you to sign this. They don't live in this county.
Right.
And so how do we go about reclaiming? I guess that's what you're saying here.
Yeah, what we're trying to do there, Senator, that's a very good question, is the integrity of the will of the signer of the petition is what we're trying to protect. So if, because of the person that is, you know, actually standing there gathering, the signature gatherer, if they make a mistake, for instance, and you know, a good example is that one where you're in St. Louis and you're right across the county line and you've got somebody gathering signatures and somebody mm-hmm. is shopping at that shopping center, going to the post office or whatever the case may be, and they accidentally take the St. Louis County
petition. Yeah.
And sign that one, okay, thinking that they're, you know, they're signing one that's for the city, okay, and then it goes through the process and the Secretary of State says this is not a valid signature.
Correct.
Okay, so what the provision that we're putting in here is for the proponents to be able to reclaim that, and that all the efforts and legwork would be on behalf of the proponents, and they would be able to go through this process to reclaim that signature to make it valid. So they would have the burden of contacting that voter and finding out if that was the intent of that voter to be signing this petition.
The person who's floating the petition.
Correct.
It will be their responsibility.
Right. The state would not be on the hook at all for the cost or the aggravation of going through that process. It would be the proponents of the initiative.
Okay, and so they will determine that, okay, they're not part of the county. Their signature should never have been on there. And then what do? We take that signature off. Is that what your
that's
process
what we could,
is of reclaiming?
Well, no, that's what we're currently doing. That's how the process currently works.
Exactly.
Right. No, what we would be doing is giving the proponents an opportunity to contact that voter that signed it, you know, with the intent that their signature would be part of advancing that issue to the ballot, and
okay.
then try to confirm with them if they're able to do that. Through this process, then that signature would count, okay? And there would be a time frame where they could...
The signature would count even though they're not in the proper county for the petition. That's what you're telling me.
I'm saying that not from any fault of the signer, okay?
Right.
The petition gatherer, they signed the wrong one. We're giving the ability for them to be contacted by the proponent to say, do you wish, is it your intent that this, your signature would support this being put on the ballot?
Okay, but I think we're having a little difficulty in communication here. I'm saying the person has signed that is not eligible to sign that because they're not in the appropriate county or city or wherever the jurisdiction is that they should be signing. So if you're telling me that then they're going to go and say, well, did you really mean to support this? They might want to support this, but they're not eligible to sign this petition because it's not applicable.
Senator, how is it that they're not eligible?
If I'm doing something for St. Louis County and they live in St. Louis City, how would they be eligible to support a petition in St. Louis County for St. Louis County residents if they live in St. Louis City?
No, this would only apply to something that would be a statewide initiative. It doesn't apply to something that is just a county. If you're not an eligible voter for that issue.
No, right. But see, I'm looking at your bill. I don't see where it just says statewide referendums. We may have a county issue that we're looking to put on the ballot in St. Louis County.
Yeah, but this is addressing statewide.
This is only statewide that you're talking
referendum
about.
I don't
see that. Where is that?
Well, it probably has to do with the sections that we're in, Senator.
I'm trying to find the section. Help me with that because that's why I had the question.
Oh, okay.
I wanted
All
to
right.
make sure.
I was missing. Yeah, okay. All right.
He's cheating. So we're looking at an entire statewide situation. That's what you're trying to get at.
Correct.
Okay, so we're not breaking this down into different counties and recognizing the fact that on statewide initiatives, you have to get a certain percentage of voters from
six of the nine
congressional districts.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And so you're saying that if they sign and they're out of one of those, then you get an opportunity to talk to them and say, well, you actually live in the second congressional district and you should be signing, and you signed in the sixth, so you should go back and put yours on the second. That's what you're telling me.
Well, I'm saying it's the burden would be on the proponent, and they would have to contact that registered voter and ask if their intent was, and do they wish that their signature be counted? Yes.
Okay. All
Senator,
right.
Can I back up to the question that I couldn't answer?
Yes. Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 27th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Appreciate the indulgence of my colleagues there. I ask unanimous consent for introduction of special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just arriving from Perryville, Missouri. They got up early this morning, and we're going to get them on their way so that they can go all the way up to the top of the Capitol here after seeing a little bit of debate in the Missouri Senate, is the St. Vincent's ninth graders. They're here to study state government, and they just left the House to come over to a much calmer and saner Senate. So I hope they enjoy their tour here, and I hope that my colleagues will welcome them to the Missouri Senate.
Will the Senate make the guests from the senator from Cape Girardeau feel welcome here in the Senate today? Senator from Dent, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to introduce some special guests with us today.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, right back here from the Fatima Spirits team, we have some individuals that have come. They're sponsored by MoDOT to promote highway safety. With them today, they have two advisors, Wanda Rehagen and Sharon Breeze. Mr. President, I'd ask that these individuals stand and that this body make them feel welcome here today.
Will the guests please rise from the senator from Dent and let the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome here today.
Yeah.
Senator from the 14th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I wish to continue my inquiry of the senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, you...
Okay, you were going to...
Yield.
I yield.
Proceed.
Answer. Thank you.
Yes, Senator, and hopefully, let's if we just back up to that question that I couldn't address. I got a note here. There is no remanding of a fiscal note to the auditor. The decision can be appealed to the appeals court and then to the Supreme Court.
A fiscal note. We're talking about the Attorney General determined that this is not satisfying the requirements. We're on page 12, right?
Right, in
okay.
The fiscal note. Right.
And you're saying, and your response was what?
Well, I've got a note here. There is no remanding of a fiscal note to the auditor. The decision can be appealed to the appeals court and then to the Supreme Court.
Well, if you look at number 4 on that page, it does say of such approval to the state auditor. Number 4.
Right. I'll have to get back to you on that, Senator. We're going to,
okay,
do some research and find out why we're making that change.
Right.
You know, and are we losing a protection that we currently have in the process, you know, by taking that out? That's a
yeah.
great question.
I'm not sure.
I'll do some more work on that. Thanks.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Thank you. And one other, Senator, the 55 days
yes.
Is for challenging the ballot title.
Title.
Right.
Okay. And so that would be the Secretary of State. So you have not heard from the Secretary of State is that an insufficient amount of time or sufficient? You haven't heard anything?
Have not.
All right. Okay. If we go to page 5, we're looking at the structure of the petition itself. Right now, do we have any of this barcoding technology, anything already currently? I haven't seen a petition in a long time, so I don't know what the form actually looks like. Do we have any of this on this petition now?
Boy, that's a very good question, Senator. And I don't know if that technology is, I would imagine it's something that is being utilized, maybe not in Missouri, but maybe in other states. And
okay.
what we're trying to do is come into the 21st century, I guess, and allow
Absolutely.
For these, again, make the process more streamlined.
Okay, so if we don't have that, then that's going to be some money to enact that. What did your fiscal note say? I don't have your fiscal note here. Because that would probably be something new that we'd have to do, right?
Give me one moment on that. I don't recall, Senator, that we had a fiscal note.
You don't have a fiscal note?
No, I said, no, I'm not a fiscal cost, I should say.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we have a fiscal note.
Okay. Well, I know if we're going to have to utilize
we'll find that out and get back to
some kind of whatever. Okay, we'll have to do that. And if your staff would be so kind as to look at 116.190, I think it does have a section where we send the fiscal note to the auditor. So they might want to look that up. The last question, I think, that I have is has to do with this obstruction of the petition signing.
What page
are
you on,
Senator? And
you
have that as a misdemeanor. I don't know where it is in the bill.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Do we have that? Is that kind of going on now? What are you...
Well, it's certainly
okay. It's on page 8 here. Looks
okay.
Like on page 8.
It certainly has been communicated to me by people that have been involved in this process that there is intimidation that goes on, and you know, I think we would certainly agree we don't want people to get in between our citizens, registered voters that have a desire to sign one of these petitions, and a petitioner, and you know, either threaten them or you know, use bodily force to keep them from signing a petition.
And we've had that, you think?
I think we have, yes.
Really? Okay, and so that's a misdemeanor. which is what?
What's a misdemeanor?
Yeah, it's a Class A misdemeanor. So is that?
Up to a year in prison, I believe.
Up to a year, okay. Mm-hmm. A fine associated with that?
If I recall, I think it was, a fine not to exceed $10,000.
Okay. And I think this is really the last one. Do we have anything in here about petitioners misrepresenting their petitions?
I think we might have some things about fraudulent behavior.
Well, not necessarily behavior, but you have a, and I think we talked about it.
Fraudulent gathering of signatures?
No. This is actually what your title may be. We talked about it yesterday. I'm trying to quickly remember. There was a subject that we were dealing with, and it was kind of like one of these, you say this is, you're supportive of an issue, but really you're not. It's kind of like a misrepresentation of what you're trying to do. I think the Civil Rights Initiative was one of those. Many felt that you were not indeed trying to protect the civil rights of people. It was just the opposite. So do we have anything in this bill that goes to the misrepresentation, either in title or in language of a petition? Because your fraudulent is talking about people that are just actually taking signatures
out of the phone book or something.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And so, I'm looking at actual misrepresentation of what your initiative is really about. Is there anything in here about that?
You know, I don't believe that there is, Senator. I mean, I think that, within the process of creating a ballot title and then the process of challenging that title, I mean, I think that that is the safeguard that we currently have, in state statute. I mean,
well,
if we want to beat that
only
up,
through the
I mean,
courts. It's only through the courts.
Because well, the Secretary
when that,
of State also.
When that went to, because I believe in this particular instance, and I'm familiar with this, I will tell you, and I was one of those who was out there, this is wrong, you're misrepresenting what you're saying you're purporting here. And mm-hmm. So I was one of those, so I do know that that did happen.
Right.
But we had to go, actually the Secretary of State approved the title.
Mm-hmm.
Went forward with that. And the court said, this is absolutely wrong. You are misleading the public with the title of this and threw that out. And so that's why I'm asking, is
well,
there
process,
anything in here?
I don't do anything to change that process.
You didn't do anything. So they we would still have to go before the courts
if it's
to
challenged.
Make that determination
right.
to challenge
right.
that
right.
language. All right, Senator.
Yeah, now what I do, Senator, is I put a little bit more teeth into the statute saying to the court that you've got to move this to the top of your docket because, again, we've got a limited time frame.
And
so
I understand that in some ways I'm a little reluctant to, I don't know what the courts and what all they have on their dockets. I don't know that. And so I would be a little less, oh, yeah, this is number one. You got to take this to the top. Because I don't know what else they're dealing with. I'm not an attorney, never been a judge,
right.
So I don't know how that process works.
Certainly.
But I think that, they would probably be in a better position to determine the priorities of their docket. So that would be the only thing that I would have to say in that regard.
Can I answer one more question for
you? Sure.
On the fiscal note?
Uh-huh.
2011-0, 2012-0, 2013, 105,000.
$105,000.
And they came up with that. The $105,000 is additional personnel and reprinting ballots, which is the point that you made, right?
Okay, I'm going to try to find mine because I was told that it was a little bit more than that. It's a range, so it's a little bit more than that. But I'm going to look for mine as well.
Okay.
But I will. I may have some other questions, Senator. But I will at this point in my. Thank you.
Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, you yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Morning, Senator.
Still morning.
How are you?
Pretty good. I remember this bill from last year, and we had a discussion on page 2, and let me just talk with you here about the whole provision that essentially no mistake or error, including those by the circulators gathering signatures or proponents of a measure, shall invalidate the signatures. And it's on lines 8 through 19 And
right.
We talked about this a little bit last year. Would you explain this to me from your perspective, beginning on line 12? No mistake, error, omission by parties other than the person signing the petition under this chapter, including but not limited to petition circulators, proponents of a petition, any person involved in gathering. Would you kind of explain what you're talking about there?
Yeah, I believe, Senator, that really gets back to the crux of the will and intent of the signer, the registered voter in the state of Missouri, what their intent is, and that by no fault of their own, whether it be a signature gatherer, a proponent of the petition, or anybody involved in the, that whole process, that a mistake or error that they would make would infringe upon the right of the signer to be a part of bringing such a petition to the ballot.
Yeah, and last year, keep in mind, I come at it from a perspective of I've done a lot of local initiative petitions. So, you know, I'm a proponent of people being able to petition their government and changing the county charter, the city charter, whatever. So that's the perspective I come from. However, would an omission or mistake be somebody having the wrong address? And you might say, perhaps, that that's one digit being off in their address, and you might think, well, that's an unreasonable mistake. That's just a typo. However, would this include falsified address, or would this include address that is not on their okay? But well, anyway, that's the.
I'm just trying to
work
through
that,
Senator.
When I say mistake, yeah. I mean, the significant term is mistake. Mistake, omission. And to what extent do we allow people to evaluate the petition and say, you know, this is a typo, and we go through it in this body, this is a typo, you send it up, and our secretary makes the technical change, and that's a unanimous consent request, and that's done easily. However, somebody probably can't change their entire amendment that way. So what I get to is mistake omission. Just from your perspective, tell me what that entails.
Well, it is.
And who defines that?
Well, if we need Senator to better define it, I mean, I'm certainly receptive to that.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily a critic of the petition process. I've handled a lot of petitions locally. But I just wanted, when I saw, we had a little bit of this discussion last year, no mistake, error, or omission. That is very broad, and I don't want any abuse by either side. I mean, I don't want a petitioner to be, I don't want the senator from the first to sign a petition to change the Missouri Constitution, and then let's say I'm opposed to it and knock off your signature because you made a mistake, So there's both ways on this. There's both sides of this. And I just want to assure that no mistake, error, omission is kind of that. We can get back to that.
Yeah.
The other question I have, and then I'll end my inquiry, is the issue the senator from the 14th brought up, which is on page 12, current law allows a 10-day process on this fiscal note. Why are we bracketing it out section 5 or subsection 5?
You know what? I couldn't answer that question
senator,
and I still can't answer it. But
yeah.
I would say that the intentions are to take one of the steps out of the process to streamline it, Senator. If we are foregoing a protection, in the process with deleting this from current statute, I mean, I am very...
Right.
I mean, I'm going to have to study why we're doing it.
I would just say, I think subsection 4 puts a time frame in. And what I'm concerned about is I want the function there of somebody, let's say that I have a petition you don't like. I want to protect your right to challenge that, potentially in the courts. I want your right. I want my right to circulate it. I want your right to challenge it. So that's the perspective I'm coming from. I've, you know, been involved in petitions where people are for or against. It has to be an equality of those rights. And I was just a little bit concerned when we deleted that section, because I think that even if we define a time frame in that, would be better than just deleting it entirely. So,
yeah.
Senator, I just wanted to go over a couple of those things. And I'm coming at it from a perspective of somebody who's, I've probably been involved in 15 initiative petitions in my life. So thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the second, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right, I have some constituents from O'Fallon, Missouri, up here for the homeschool rally today. I got caller Carla Boyer and her daughter, Lexi, who I'd like to ask to be made page for the day to serve without compensation. Please be welcome.
They shall be made pages for the day without compensation. We'd like to welcome them to the Capitol here. Will the members of the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome?
Thank you, ma'am.
Senator from Jefferson.
I'd like to ask unanimous consent to introduce guests as well. These bright-eyed youngsters sitting in front of us here are from my parish that I grew up in at St. Joseph in Imperial. There are 8 homeschoolers. They are Shannon Dixon, Ryan Dixon, Liliana Schaefer, Logan Schaefer, Noah Sandage, Emma Sandage, Drew Dodd, and Delaney Dodd. If we could make them feel welcome, too. Thank you.
Senate, make the guests of the senator from Jefferson feel welcome here today in the Senate. The senator from the 24th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from St. Francois.
Senator, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
Senator, didn't we discuss this a couple of years in committee? In committee, we were in this particular type, working with the initiative petition process?
I think so.
And I was on the other side, though. I was trying to make it a little more difficult because I'm one of the ones that believe that we've taken a legislation in practical use out of the hands of the legislature and are getting way, way too many.
Talk to you because I do have an amendment to offer, and I wanted to...
I remember a couple years ago. You remember me on Elliot Davis? I was reading the transcript here, and Ron Kell... Zone was the guy that called Elias Davis on to make me portray me as a terrible person to try to tighten these restrictions, and I still appreciate that, and I think I will at some point here soon lay this bill over in honor of Ron Calzone.
Well,
in the spirit of Elliot Davis and payback.
Do I get them off of my amendment before or after?
I've saw several of the people that have got a lot of amendments to this, and we probably are going to move on pretty soon. So that's why I was just going to encourage you not to offer your amendment and hopefully encourage until hopefully we get something worked out, the senator, to lay this bill over.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Senator from the first, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Regretfully, Mr. President, to ask you to put this bill on the informal calendar.
The bill shall be laid over on the informal calendar. Moving down the Senate bills for perfection on the formal calendar, Senate Bill 630 with Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 630 with the committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
Senator from the 7th moves that Senate Bill 630 be taken up with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. Senator from 7th, you care to explain?
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 630 be adopted. What this bill does is, you all will remember because it passed this body unanimously last year, it deals with the classification and reclassification of manufactured homes. The substitute, at the request of the Department of Revenue, simply clarifies that the department will promulgate rules and forms in relation to that process. This bill was a consent bill last year, passed the Senate unanimously, as I said, and inevitably passed the entire legislature, got to the governor's desk. He did agree with the bill, wanted to sign it, but an amendment had been added on in the House that he disagreed with and therefore had to veto the bill. A manufactured home is what used to be referred to as a house trailer. a home on wheels, and that home on wheels, just like any other motor vehicle, has a title. But once the manufactured home or the house trailer is put on a slab and the wheels taken off, connected to utilities and whatever, it actually becomes like a house, a fixed structure, and therefore is considered real property. The problem develops when this piece of real property continues to have a title, just like it's a motor vehicle, and it then runs into problems with regard to inconsistencies with assessors around the state not knowing how to deal with it. Also, it inconveniences, that's a very a word that doesn't nearly get to the heart of it, inconveniences someone who wants to sell the house as a home on a piece of property, the person who wants to purchase it, the person who wants to get a loan for that, so banks don't know what to deal with it, how to evaluate it, and what it is. Virtually every state except Missouri has fixed this problem, and they have a method of converting what used to be personal property or a motor vehicle to real estate and a home. And so what this bill does is give us that process that virtually every other state has. It is probably, our last session, probably still maybe this session too, the most consumer-friendly piece of legislation that we did, because especially right now we desperately need affordable housing. This provides that, and it facilitates the ability to get it. This bill has been supported by multiple groups for actually a number of years, the Bankers Association, the Realtors, the Independent Bankers, Missouri Land Title, Missouri Manufactured Housing, Missouri Mortgage Bankers, and Missouri Financial Services Association. We've worked closely with the Department of Revenue, and we've got this bill to where it works for them. And with that explanation, Mr. President, I do have an amendment. It has been distributed. And I ask for a waiver of the reading. It could be that Senator Bray has the same amendment, but the
Senator,
one we're, sorry, the senator from the 24th.
Senator, will you send your amendment forward?
I will. It is 04S on your desk.
The senator from the 7th has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 630. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Good. The senator from the 7th has offered Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Bill 630 to Senate committee substitute. Does any, have you moved adoption for that amendment, Senator?
I did an explanation of it. This was recommended by the Department of Revenue. It simply starts the implementation of this in 2011, which they have requested.
The senator from the 7th has moved for the adoption of her amendment. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 7th renews her motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 630 be adopted. As many of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
Yeah. Senator from the 7th has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 630. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th renews her motion that the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 630 be adopted. Is any of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee substitute is adopted. Senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Bill 630, as amended by the Senate Committee substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from the 7th has moved for perfection of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 630. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 7th renews her motion that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 630 be perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Moving down the formal calendar for perfection, Senate Bill 774 with Senate Committee Substitute, Senator from the First.
I move that Senate Bill 774 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection.
The Senator from the First moves that Senate Bill 774 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection. As many of them opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senator, would you care to explain?
Mr. President. Now I move that Senate Bill 774 with Senate Committee Substitute. I already did that, didn't I?
I believe, Senator, you are wanting to take adopt the substitute for its adoption.
Thank you.
The Senator from the First has moved for the adoption.
I was on the wrong page.
Of the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Do you care to explain? Care to explain the Senate Committee Substitute, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Hopefully this piece of legislation will not be quite as controversial as my last. This proposal was brought to me by the Department of Mental Health, and it would make it a crime up to a Class C felony for offenders of our Sexual Offender Treatment and Rehabilitation Services SORTS unit in Farmington to use bodily fluids, saliva, urine, etc., to assault staff or other patients. This is what was formerly the institution referred to as MOSATSE, and this is an issue that is becoming more and more of a problem, Mr. President, and this would give safeguards to employees of the Department of Mental Health that are currently enjoyed by those in corrections, and I think it's very important that we assist the department and those employees and give them this protection. With that, Mr. President, I certainly would entertain any questions.
The Senator from the First has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from St. Francois.
To inquire.
Senator, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields.
I'm with you on this one, and I want to just elaborate a little bit more. In our corrections, we did this a couple years ago for them. And since the MOSATSE unit is a different division, it's actually mentally health, we have to adopt it separately for those that, these people are long-term. These are multiple pedophiles, multiple rapists that are probably going to be held there for a long, long time. They have no repercussion if they're going to spit on somebody, handle them. If they're going to use other bodily functions, they don't have any repercussions. This at least gives them some repercussions, and it's a good bill, and it's one that I'm aware of from people that I live in the town with that work there. These people shouldn't be treated any differently in this regard than prisoners, and I support
this. Senator, I think it's important to add, and I appreciate your support, is that currently to house these individuals in this
unit,
it's costing the taxpayers roughly $60,000, $65,000, $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
This is really an opportunity, and really the department is clear on this, that if these individuals are committing these crimes against these employees, they can end up back in the system, right?
Right.
In corrections.
And they don't want that. And that's the thing. You've got some hammer over them by doing this bill.
Right.
We don't want them in society. These are the worst of the worst. We've determined that. But yet, we are not criminally holding them. And if they do this, they can get a criminal offense and be put back into the penitentiary, which pedophiles don't do real well in penitentiaries. So they hopefully will help them with their behavior.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senator from the First?
Senator from the First, you yield.
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I actually was talking with a colleague, and so I didn't really get to hear the conversation that you had with the senator from St. Francois. And I don't have any problem with your bill that I know of. I do want to visit with you just a minute because I have an amendment coming out. And let me just tell you about that amendment.
Okay.
It was heard in health this morning. It is a 100% totally consent bill. It has to do with the Department of Mental Health, again, something they asked for. This just looks like a good little hook to hang it on.
And I, it's a...
What does it do, Senator?
Pardon me?
What does it do?
It...
What do it do?
What do it do? It was, it clarifies a section of the statute that's become outdated. The law says that head of a facility must certify patient account information has to be submitted to the court for collection. It says that the head of the facility must certify it and attach the seal of the facility. There's two problems there. Facilities no longer have seals, and a long time ago, the division director started doing this job, not the head of the facility, and so it's putting in statute what's been practiced, except in a court case recently, this came up.
Okay.
And so it Senator, this is just about as consent as you can get.
Sounds like a good cleanup, Senator. Yeah.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask that this be, I'm going to get these guys to copy it and distribute it, and I'm going to send one forward, and because it's two paragraphs long, so I think that needs to be copied and distributed, and then I'll send this one forward, and then the
Senator from the 24th.
Yes, but I haven't been recognized for that yet, so hold on, guys. So, Senator, thank you for your inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
I have an amendment.
Send it forward.
All righty. It is speedily there. Mr. President, it has not yet to be copied and distributed. I would ask that be done. I can slowly describe it. And
Senator, would you like the amendment
I read? Move adoption of the amendment.
Okay. The senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard?
Mr. President.
Or actually, do you care to explain?
Yes, let me just walk through it again.
Sure.
This proposal changes 630.220 to clarify that the division director or the division or the division director's designee can certify patient accounts that are submitted to the court for collection for services provided. The current language says the facility head must certify patient accounts and affix the facility seal. It's not consistent with current practice, and what this language does is codify that practice. Unfortunately, this came up in a court action recently, and so it's something that we really need to just get in. And so I was the committee of the senator from Green heard this bill this morning and voted it out, and actually needs to vote it out consent. So I thought, well, this is a good place to attach it. I'd be glad to answer
Senator,
your question.
Do you desire the secretary to read the amendment if it's short?
Well, if it's, actually, I think it's all just, it's
okay.
All,
okay.
Yeah. It just was long, it's like 3/4 of a page long, so that's, I figured we had to.
The senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 774 with a Senate committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I will close, and they're almost distributed.
The senator from the 24th has renewed her motion that Senate Amendment Number 1, the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 774, be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment 1 is adopted. Senator from the 1st. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 1st.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from the 1st renews his motion for adoption. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate committee substitute Senate Bill 774, as amended, be declared perfected and ordered printed. I did close, didn't I? No? I didn't adopt the substitute?
Senator, are you moving?
I close.
Okay. The senator from the first has moved for the adoption, renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 774. Are those in the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Many of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate Committee substitute is adopted. Senator from the first.
Now, Mr. President, I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 774, as amended with Senate Committee substitute, be declared, perfected, and ordered printed.
The senator from the first has moved for the perfection of Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 774. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from the first renews his motion that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 774 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Moving down the formal calendar for Senate bills for perfection, Senate Bill 767, the senator from the 8th. Will the sergeant at arms please find the senator from the 8th? The senator from Johnson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire the president?
You may.
May I ask what calendar we're on right now? Where are we?
We are, Senator, we are on the Senate formal calendar for Senate bills for perfection, Senate Bill 767, Senator from the 8th.
Thank you.
Senator from the 8th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 767 be brought before the body for perfection.
Senator from the 8th has moved that Senate Bill 767 be brought before the body for perfection. Those in the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Senator. Thank you, Mr. President. This was on the consent calendar and was asked to be removed by one of our colleagues. And so here it is now on the perfection calendar. In Jackson County, where I'm from, there are massive cuts that are being made in county government, and the chief judge of the 16th Judicial Circuit came to me and said, I'm being forced to spend money on a law library, and it doesn't make sense for us to be forced to spend the money on a law library. Would you please change the statute that requires that we there's a court fee that's been in place for a lot of years that goes for the library. Nobody uses the library anymore because all law books are now online. And so what this would do is, not just in Jackson County, but in other counties where this restriction would have been in place, this allows them flexibility with what to do with those funds. That's what this is designed to do. And I think it's just in this extremely dire budget situation that we're in now, forcing courts to spend money on law libraries when they don't need to, when they have far more pressing needs. Our courts are cutting their budgets dramatically, and they need this to keep justice functioning in our county. So that's what this does, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 767 be perfected and order printed. There's the motion.
The senator from the 8th has moved that Senate Bill 767 be perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 1st, for all reasons, do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire, the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, how are you accomplishing this feat? I mean, you're just taking out some language that has to do with counties that have the nonpartisan court plan?
Right. See, that if you look on line 14, it says other than a county on the nonpartisan court plan. So that means all the nonpartisan court plan counties are not allowed this flexibility that the rest of the state has, which makes no sense.
Okay, so you are applying then that to all the other counties that aren't under the court plan currently?
No, I'm giving the same flexibility that all nonpartisan court plan counties have to the Missouri plan counties as well.
Okay, and effectively, what does this allow them to do then?
Take money that they're now forced to spend on the law libraries and to spend them on everything else. Courtroom renovation, technology enhancement, debt service on county bonds for renovation or enhancement projects.
And currently through the appropriations process, do we line item those different appropriations for those different areas?
I don't think this is just talking about state funds. This is talking about funds that are collected by the county and spent on county. So I don't think we're talking about state funds here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
You've heard the motion, the perfecting motion from the senator from the 8th. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I renew my motion.
The senator from the 8th renews his motion that Senate Bill 767 be declared printed and be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Moving down the formal calendar for Senate bills for perfection, Senate Bill 793 was Senate Committee substitute. The senator from Stoddard. Will the Sergeant at Arms please retrieve the senator from Stoddard? Senator from St. Francis. Senator from... Senator from St. Francois, what reason do you seek recognition?
The next one, next bill.
You have to lay that over on the...
That's 793. We are going to switch... 793, lay that bill on the informal calendar, Mr. President, please.
Senate Bill 793.
And then come back to me, please.
Calendar. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you go to the senator from Buchanan now, since that bill was already called, we couldn't go to you. We're going to go to the senator from Buchanan. Do you have something you have to assign? Mm-hmm. And then we'll make pronouncements.
The senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of referrals, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 53, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 54, both those to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, and perfected Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 842, 799, and 809. If you'll refer that to Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight.
This shall be so referred. Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate go to the order of business announcements. If you'll recognize me for announcement.
Announcements, Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you. We are going to come back in. I'm not going to adjourn us. I'm just going to go and come back in at
2:45, it would be my intention, just to take in rules reports. It'll be a technical section session. And then tomorrow we will start, though, with Senate Bill. We'll pull that off the informal calendar, Senate Bill 793, and then we'll go back to the formal calendar, continue down that. Also, Mr. President, your committee on rules, joint rules, will meet in about 10 minutes.
Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, may I briefly inquire of the Senator from St. Francis?
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
Yep.
He does. Proceed.
Sometimes, Senator, thank you. So I just want to clarify, the 2:45 will be technical only, correct?
Only. Nothing just else will be coming up, and we are not going to...
And then your reference to other bills were for tomorrow, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Any further announcements? Hearing none. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in honor of the people coming into the chamber now, they're going to get to see us close. Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2:45 today.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned until 2:45. We'll stand in recess until 2:45 p.m. this afternoon.